We have a God who loves us with a scandalous love. A God who loves us with a scandalous love. And the reason why God's love for us is so scandalous is that he empties himself and enters into our everyday reality. So that God loves us with an extraordinary love in the ordinary experiences that we have. I'll say that one more time. God loves us with an extraordinary love in the ordinary experiences that we have. You know, when I think about the life of Christ, I think when we use our imagination and I say things like, well, think about Bethlehem for a second. What comes to mind when you think about Jesus being born in a manger? Now, if you're anything like me, you're picturing kind of a night sky, beautiful evening, angels in the sky, Mary, Joseph, maybe a cow in the background, little baby Jesus. But what we don't realize is that the world didn't really stop when Jesus was born. Most people in Bethlehem that night walked right past that manger. A few shepherds showed up, a few wise men a little bit later. But the majority of people just walked right by because Jesus didn't come into the world with a lot of pomp and circumstance. He didn't come with a lot of fanfare. He just came simply, quietly, to be God with us. We even think about Jesus' public life and his ministry. That for 30 years, he lived a hidden life. He was just the kid down the street. So when he goes home, people even ask that question, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter, the son of Mary? Don't we know this guy? Where did he get such wisdom? Just brothers and sisters and cousins, aren't they all here with us? And they rejected him because he seemed so ordinary. Think about the scribes and the Pharisees. Listen to Jesus, but again, they just thought that he was one of them. They just thought that he was trying to show them up. It's what they do. They rejected him. The scandalous love of God is this, that the vast majority of people ignored him. The vast majority of people just ignored him because he didn't meet their expectation. I've thought about this. This sounds kind of silly, but I figure that I'm taller than Jesus. It's going to be really awkward when I meet him face to face someday. Hello, Lord. I was your height once, middle school. Lord and Savior of the world, I'm taller than that guy. Can it really be him? What do you think Jesus looks like? Do you have Jim Caviezel Jesus in your mind from The Passion? Do you have the British Jesus from Jesus of Nazareth? Lazarus, come forth. Are you allowing God to break your expectations? Can you let Jesus be Jesus and receive him as he comes to you? Or do we build up all these expectations and expect God to fulfill them? This is what happens in our lives all the time. I'll tell you an experience in my own life. The first time I went to the seminary, you heard that right. The first time I went to the seminary, I left. I even got to meet St. John Paul II. My name got picked out of a hat to go serve Mass for the Pope. Now, you think for most people, that would be a pretty good sign that this is where you're supposed to be. Not for this knucklehead. So I was walking around. I'm like, well, this isn't like being on retreat all the time. I thought being in the seminary would be like being at Steubenville, or like all these guys are going to be super holy. I thought that I'd be levitating by now. What's the deal, Jesus? I feel so ordinary. I still feel like myself. And I thought that it was going to be different than this. And so I left because God wasn't meeting my expectations. Story of a great saint. St. Augustine. Perhaps some of you are very familiar with him. St. Augustine is a doctor of the church, but he got off to a pretty rough start in his life. It's because he, like most young people, was searching for happiness. He was searching for what was the popular trend of the day, and he went from city to city and town to town searching for truth, searching for pleasure, searching for meaning in his life. That he became a great philosopher, that he knew classical languages, that he actually went into politics, big surprise. He had a mistress and a child out of wedlock. That he was searching and searching and searching. Until finally one day he had this experience where God made himself known to Augustine. And he heard a voice when he's in a garden just said, take and read, take and read. So he looks to his right and he opens up the scriptures and he opens up to Romans chapter 13. No longer live in the darkness, but put on the armor of Christ. Don't use your energy on licentiousness and debauchery and drunkenness. Put on the Lord Jesus and make no provisions for the flesh. And St. Augustine had his eyes opened because what he realized is that he was going from town to town, from city to city, searching for a God who was already with him in the everyday. Do you want to know what the secret to holiness is? The real secret to holiness? It's being able to behold God in your daily life. Because if we're really a people of faith, he's with us. Which means that like John the Baptist, we ought to be able to say, behold the Lamb of God. That's the one. Here he is, God made flesh in my life. And for us as Catholics, sometimes, again, we just miss it. We just walk right by because we want God to come and open up the heavens. We want God to make us levitate when we float. We want God to make us somebody other than ourselves because we think that it's some other version of ourself that can be holy. It's some other version of my life where I can encounter God. But the truth is that the same scandalous God that came into the world 2,000 years ago empties himself and comes into your life today. That he is with us. And we miss it because sometimes we say, Jesus, it just seems so ordinary. The Eucharist that we celebrate. How scandalous of God that he would figure out a way to actually get inside of you. But Jesus, it seems so ordinary. Shouldn't there be like an angel that appears, a flash of lightning? That would be more spectacular. That would be proof enough. Why do you come so quietly? Because a broken reed, he's not going to break. Smoldering wick, he won't extinguish. Jesus comes in humility. He comes in gentleness. St. Augustine has the great passage from his Confessions that I'll end with. When his eyes were opened to the fact that God loves us so much that he loves us with an extraordinary love in the ordinary events of our daily lives. He says this, late have I loved you, beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. For you were within me, but I was in the external world. And in my unloveliness, I plunged myself into these things, searching for you. You were with me, but I wasn't with you. The lovely things that you created distracted me from you. And yet, if you had not created them, they would have no existence at all. And so you called and you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You were radiant and resplendent, and you drove away my blindness. You were fragrant, and I breathed you in, and now I pant for you. I tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for nothing but you. You touched me, and now I am on fire for the peace that only you can give. I want a faith like that. I want a faith like Augustine. that realizes that God is with us, that God is within us. So my prayer for myself and for all of us is just that, that you take a step back and you ask the simple question. If somebody asks you to point to where God is in your life today, where God is in the reality of your family and of your friends and of your church, where is God in the midst of the mess of your life? Where is God in the midst of the joys of your life? Where is God in the midst of the sorrows of your life? That we as a people of faith would be able to say, behold. Behold the scandalous love of God revealed. For he is Emmanuel. He is God with us.